The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me." But Jesus said to him in reply, "Allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, coming upon him. And a voice came from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Today, the invitation of God's word is to reflect on the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan, to be baptized by John the Baptist, and to reflect on what this means in the life of Jesus and what it teaches us about the manner in which we are followers of that same Jesus baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. So let me claim these few moments to reflect on this and wonder what this might mean to us today, now, in our journey as followers of Jesus Christ. John was baptizing in the Jordan, in the desert, in the River Jordan. And all those who came to him came because they were seeking repentance, acknowledging their sinfulness and their need for conversion. And it's into this community of sinners seeking conversion, looking for repentance, metanoia, we spoke about that before, Jesus enters into this community in order to be baptized as they were baptized. It's not the baptism in the Spirit familiar to us, it's a baptism of repentance. So why does Jesus, sinless Jesus, enter into this community of sinners and allow himself to be baptized by John in the Jordan waters? So let's look at the humanity of Jesus. This is the fullest expression of Jesus entering into the community of humanity. The broken people, the sinners, those seeking repentance, how Jesus belongs to them in this ritual of John's baptizing for conversion and Jesus being part of it. First thing it's important for us to know is that Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us much about the humanity of Jesus. The Gospel of John does not deal much with the humanity. The Gospel of John speaks about Jesus' divinity. Therefore, in John's Gospel, there is no birth narrative. There is no Jordan baptized, being baptized in the Jordan, not found in John's Gospel. John's Gospel emphasizes the power of Jesus Christ. He has conquered the world. I lay down my life, and I take it up again. Nobody takes my life from me. That's the Gospel of John. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke give us a great insight into the humanity of Jesus. powerful moments such as the testing of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, and Luke deal with Jesus goes into the desert to be tempted, to be tested by Satan. And they tell us he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. 40 is not meant to be taken literally, but for a length of time. In contest with the devil. And when he has finished his time in the desert, he is weak and he is hungry, and the devil tempts him. But then it says, angels were sent to strengthen him, not to take away the contest, not to relieve him of his fatigue, his discouragement in humanity, but to strengthen him, to carry him through this moment of testing. It's the infinite God coming to us in humanity. Read on in the synoptics in the life of Christ. Take his Garden of Gethsemane. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is going through this astounding trauma. It's a trauma anticipating his death, his suffering, overcome with fear. Luke's gospel tells us he is so traumatized, he is so anxious, so overwhelmed by what's happening to him, that his sweat become like drops of blood falling to the ground. That's what Luke tells us. The others emphasize his loneliness, the anticipation that he is betrayed. Looking back over his life, he wept over Jerusalem. The human Jesus weeps over Jerusalem, since it has not known the time of its visitation. He did not convert his own people. He failed to convert his own people. So he weeps over Jerusalem, the humanity of Jesus. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, it reaches its peak. He can see his betrayal. He can see his loneliness. He can see his emptiness. He can see the pain and the anxiety, the abandonment which is awaiting him in his passion and his death. And this comes immediately after he has been the generous, astounding servant of his closest 12, washing their feet, sharing the Eucharist. And now comes this extraordinary sense of darkness, the humanity of Jesus. What does this mean to us? Michael Buckley, this extraordinary Jesuit theologian, writes about candidates for the priesthood. He bemoans the fact that the standards we're using for candidates for the priesthood may not be the ideal. Are you talented? Are you strong? Are you holy? Are you law-abiding? The wrong standards, he says. We should be asking, are you capable of suffering? Have you known failure in your life? Have you known betrayal in your life? Have you doubted in your life? Have you been fully human in your life? So that when you become a priest, you understand the humanity of others. You become a servant, not the master. It's the dignity, the exalted dignity of being the servant of the people and not the master. So we're looking for a different standard. We're looking for a standard of humanity, where the priest who comes among the people belongs to their humanity, belongs to their failure, belongs to their struggles, their doubts, their wonderments, their searching. It's the servant priest that Buckley is speaking about. What does it mean to us today? Reinhold Niebuhr, this astounding theologian, wrote a defining, extraordinary book in 1944 called Children of Darkness and Children of Light. Children of Darkness, in the middle of a great war here now, the violence, destruction, the devastation of war, a second war after a first great war, the annihilation of people, total disregard for the human condition, an abuse of the humanity of each person, the dignity of each person. He speaks about the powers of darkness. These are those who are intoxicated with power, with control, with domination, with acquisition. The powers of darkness. He's writing in the middle of a war here. The powers of light. Those who see the dignity of each person. Those who see Christ in another person. Those who understand the needs, the struggles, the pains, the poverty, the devastation which surrounds them, and sees it through the eyes of Christ. The powers of light. The powers of darkness are far more powerful, he said, because they're united and they're goal-driven. The powers of light, they tend to be scattered and not focused enough, they're not intense enough, they're not outspoken enough. The powers of light. Bring this into the present moment. I was reading the headlines today in the news of the day. Look at the news of the day. ISIS news of the day, whatever you believe. Venezuela is the news of the day. Greenland is the news of the day. The Pope spoke in the last couple of days about becoming comfortable with war, being at ease with the need for violence. How do I respond to this as a follower of Jesus Christ? Whatever, I don't care about your politics. I want to know about your religion. How do we respond to this violence, upheaval? Even the conversation we have, the words we use. How do we reconcile these with the humanity of Jesus Christ in our midst? The extraordinary abusive language that we use in the public discourse by leaders of our people, reflecting the powers of darkness or the powers of light. And where do we stand as followers of Jesus Christ? I had a conversation with a nice friend recently, wondering about Christian values, followers of Jesus Christ, looking at what we're looking at today. And he said, Monsignor, it's not practical. The message of Jesus Christ is not practical. It won't work. We need the powers of darkness. So what does it mean to us? We come here on Sunday, we're followers of Jesus Christ. When we look at the conflicts and the struggles we have in our own culture, in our country, or across the world, where do we stand? How do we speak? How do we respond to what's happening around us? Remember, you're familiar with Fulton Sheen, used to say in the old days, if you were arrested for being a follower of Christ, would they have enough evidence to convict you? Would your speech convict you? The manner in which you live, the manner in which you treat other people, would it be enough to convict you? The humanity of Jesus Christ is among us. It's within us. It belongs to us, and we belong to the humanity of Jesus Christ. The priest, the servant priest, the people of God carrying the message of Jesus Christ. So, come to the river. Meet Christ. I'll see you at the river. Amen.